Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Father, by your very presence, through the Holy Spirit, stir our souls so we hear your word. Learn to live by faith and do by faith each day, trusting in your sovereignty, in your compassion for us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Division. It's all going all across the news. We're being divided. There's lots of division in the land. More and more people are being divided. But the question to ask is, why the division? Isn't this division happening because of the difference between good and evil? This division's happening because of a difference in what is right and what is wrong. It's more than mere opinion. There are things that are right, and there are things that are wrong. And this section in Luke chapter 12 is honest and true about the reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ and its impact in the world. Division. Hatred, anger, the splitting of families. It's not a pleasant message to hear. Who's the one speaking it, though? Is it not Jesus, the Son of God, saying that this is what will happen? This is the reality. Light and dark have nothing in common. Good and evil have nothing in common. And Jesus has a baptism to undergo. That baptism is the cross, and that agony is coming closer. It's a baptism that he must be baptized with. That's the reading in the Greek. Baptism must be baptized with, and that distress will keep growing until it shall be accomplished. That word translated as accomplished is the word tetelestai. Yes, it's the exact same word. Tetelestai, as written in the Gospel of John, chapter 19, that John tells us Jesus cried out from the cross. Chapter 19, verse 30 of Gospel of John. When Jesus had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Accomplished. It is finished. Tetelestai. Same word, Luke chapter 12 here. And John chapter 19. And trying to make sense of this, it's difficult. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, right? But he says here he's bringing division, not peace. Why? It's because the reality of living by faith and doing by faith, the world will not endorse it. The world, the ways of this world and things of this world will not accept it. The faith. Reach back in history. Remember history, because we have a vast problem right now of a whole younger generation that does not know history. Remember history. What happened to the followers of Jesus Christ? Were they celebrated and welcomed wherever they went? No, they were hunted down. They were rejected. They were thrown out of town. They were killed. In the Roman Empire, were the followers of the way considered to be good? No, they were considered to be against Caesar, for they would not sacrifice the incense to Caesar. In Antioch, as recorded in Acts chapter 11, verse 26, the disciples were first called Christian. It was a term of disdain. It was a term of contempt. Those Christians. Not a glowing opportunity would come your way declaring yourself to be a follower of Jesus. Rather, danger and death could come your way. Yet you still became a Christian because that truth of redeeming grace in Jesus Christ was just too compelling and too transforming. That promise of life to come, which is full of grace and forgiveness in the presence of the true God, was so precious. You would learn to love others, love even those who would persecute you. The living of life, the doing of life, faith infused it all. As a believer, as a Christian, you would live by faith to the fullest, irrespective of the consequences of doing life by faith. Yes, consequences of doing by faith. Hebrews 11, let's look at Hebrews 11. Abraham, consequence of doing by faith, offer your son Isaac. You can read about it in Genesis chapter 22. As they're walking along, Isaac says, "Father, here's the wood, here's the fire. Where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham answers, "The Lord will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. The Lord will provide, Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide." Do you think it was easy for Abraham to set out in this journey with Isaac and his fellow servant to begin with? Do you think it was easy for Abraham to say, "The Lord will provide"? This whole journey, it wasn't easy to do, yet Abraham set out on it and was continuing the journey by faith. He was doing by faith as he built the altar. Doing by faith as he was tying up his son and lifting his son and placing his son on the altar. He was doing by faith, ready until the Lord called out, "Abraham, do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Moses, his parents, disobeyed Pharaoh's edict. And they weren't the only ones. If you would back up in Exodus chapter 1, you would find the Hebrew midwives disobeying Pharaoh's edict to kill the boys. Sisera and Puah, they feared God, and they would not do as the king of Egypt commanded. Doing by faith, they put their lives in danger. Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born. And could you imagine with your 3-month-old son taking a pitch-covered basket, placing him in the basket, and setting him on the River Nile to float away? Doing by faith means doing the difficult. God's hand took Moses to Pharaoh's daughter, and as a result, Moses would grow up in Pharaoh's household, learning and being educated in the grandest and greatest manner possible in the land. Yet, when he was grown up, Moses turned on the wealth and opportunities of Pharaoh's house. He chose to suffer the affliction of his people. That is doing by faith. Doing by faith, he chose to suffer affliction rather than joy, prosperity, and the sin of Pharaoh's household. By faith, keeping the Passover, put yourself in Moses' sandals, given the command that you must select a 1-year-old unblemished lamb on the 10th day. Then on the 14th day of the month at twilight, all the community of Israel is to slaughter their lambs. Moreover, you and all Israel are to take some of that blood of the lamb and put it on the doorpost and lintel of your house in which the lamb will be eaten. You're told to do this for when the Lord strikes Egypt and the destructive plague comes, the blood will be a sign to pass over. For when the Lord God sees the blood, the Lord God will pass over, and you'll be safe. Doing by faith, selecting the lamb, your best, your very best, unblemished 1-year-old lamb. Doing by faith, the lamb being slaughtered, you catch some of the blood. And then doing by faith, you take a hyssop and you brush the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel. Doing by faith was necessary to live. You only had God's word through Moses, would you do as you were told? Would you do the faith? Imagine yourself just there now, standing at the edge of the Red Sea, and you're looking out and across. And between, you're looking out and you can see all the way across, but on your right is a huge wall of water, and on your left is another huge wall of water. Imagine yourself starting by faith, doing by faith. You step down and you start to walk between these huge walls of water. And as you step out, you expect to slip and slide and get stuck in the mud because it's been underwater. But no, you find it is solid, dry ground. Doing by faith, you move your left foot forward, you take your cart, you take your animals, you take and you keep walking between those walls of water. Will they stay? Doing by faith, you cross. You all of Israel crosses safely. And then as Egypt tries to follow, Egypt is crushed by the cascading wall of water falling back into place. Egypt's army drowns. Years later, go, march around Jericho. Do by faith. Day one, march around in silence. Day two, the same. Day three, four, five, and six. Day same, each the same. March once in silence. And as you're marching around, the only sound on those 6 days to be heard is the seven trumpets of the priests going before the ark of the Lord's covenant. Day seven, march seven times. And on the seventh time, as the horns sound forth and as Joshua shouts, shout! For the Lord God has given you the city. The city and all that is in it is to be devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall be spared because she hid the spies. You can read that exciting event in Joshua chapter 6. Rahab was spared and her whole family. Why? Doing by faith. Rahab defied the city and showed kindness to the two spies, hiding them and keeping them safe. Rahab and the whole city had heard all that had taken place as Israel was coming up and coming closer. It was Rahab alone that confessed, "The Lord is God." Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 32 and part of verse 33. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised. Who conquered by faith, administered by faith. It was by faith these people did these things. Living by faith. It's the same as doing by faith. Living by faith is doing by faith. The faith that resided in them is the faith they live by. And the faith they live by is the faith that fueled their actions. The Lord is God, and we will live in obedience to the Lord God. Doing as the Lord commands to do. The Lord is God, and we will do what the Lord commands to do. Do, doing by faith. It's exactly what Jesus' brother James wrote about in his book, the book of James in the New Testament. James chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith, I have deeds." Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. I will show you my faith by what I do. Living by faith is the same as doing by faith. Living by faith is doing by faith. Shut the mouth of lions. Who comes to mind? Daniel, right? Daniel, remember why Daniel was thrown to the lions? Daniel, his exceptional abilities was bringing him to the attention of the king. And the king was planning to put Daniel in charge over the whole kingdom. And the other satraps didn't like it. So they set a trap. They became jealous. And they convinced the king to issue a decree that for 30 days, praying only to the king would be permitted. Anyone who breaks the decree will be thrown into the lion's den. Now, Daniel, his habit was to get up and go to his window that faced toward Jerusalem and three times a day pray facing Jerusalem. Did Daniel discontinue his habit of praying to the Lord God facing Jerusalem due to this decree? No. Daniel continued living by faith and doing by faith. He prayed, even knowing the consequences. He prayed. Knowing the consequences. Will you pray in Jesus' name out in the public square? Knowing the consequences. Knowing you may be ridiculed. Knowing you may face the courts. They may come against you. Will you continue to open public meetings praying in Jesus' name? Knowing that lawsuits may come from the Freedom From Religion Foundation. You know the lions of this day come in different forms. Will you still live by faith, do by faith, and pray? Quenched the fury of the flames in Hebrews 11. Who comes to mind? Is it not Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? These three refused to bow down and worship the golden image made by King Nebuchadnezzar. And if you don't bow down and worship this golden idol, you will be thrown into the fiery furnace. Summoned before the king, they answered thusly in Daniel chapter 3, verse 16, 17, and 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." Notice their answer. God is able to save us. God is able to rescue us. But even if God does not, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they will not worship the false god. Whether they live or die, they will not bow down to the false gods. Our culture is setting up many false gods, and there's one that's growing larger and larger every day. It's gaining the force of public opinion, especially through the media, more and more every day, forcing you to accept or bow down and worship it. Is not one of these false gods the culture's demand that you bow down and worship the false god that you can choose any gender you want to be? They keep adding more letters to that alphabet too. Ignoring the reality God created them male and female. Ignoring the sign of God's creation written in the chromosomes of XX for female and XY for male. They have made a false god. They put it in the place. You can choose. You can be fluid. You can be anything. You can be nothing. And with the force of academia, discipline, heaven forbid, if you use the wrong pronoun, you can lose your job. People are losing their jobs
for refusing to bow down. Even if they're tenured professors, they're losing their jobs for speaking out against this false god. There's people warning about the hormone blockers that are devastating because their side effects are devastating. And they're speaking the truth. These children are being experimented upon, for no one knows the long-term effect. It is barbarism that's taking place in the media, and academia is silencing voices that refuse to bow down to the false god. Athletes are losing scholarships. Parents are losing their children when they refuse to bow down to their false god. Innocence is being lost in locker rooms and bathrooms as modesty is being lost and sacrificed by stores and gyms and schools at the foot of this false god. And this false god beckons us that now even toddlers are bowing down and worshiping the false god, and their parents are allowing it to happen to their own children. Parents, their own parents of a toddler is even encouraging this false worship. And even more troubling is those who call themselves Christian churches as they bow down to this false god of choosing. Will you be a Shadrach or Meshach or Abednego? Will you refuse to bow down before the school board? Will you refuse to bow down before academia? Will you be the one doing this by faith, speaking out that God created them male and female? Continuing in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 35 through 38. Others were tortured and refused to be released so they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. Wouldn't you like it to be able to skip over those verses completely? Most people do. The Luke chapter 12 verse we read from today in the gospel, most people like to skip over those verses. They're not easy to hear and they're not pleasant to preach on. And here in Hebrews 11, verses 35 through 8, tortured, killed, living destitute. Hard verses. Skip over them. Let's forget about them. But these verses are about the reality of living by faith. The reality of doing by faith. Just as Jesus said, he did not come to bring peace, but division. When you follow Jesus, be perfectly clear here. When you follow Jesus, there will be times and places where people will not like you. There will be times and places people will hate you when you follow Jesus. There will be times and places people will persecute you and maybe even kill you because you follow Jesus. You will be shunned, persecuted. Do you think Google will hire you as a person living by faith? In doing what you do by faith? Will Twitter or Facebook hire you? As you're hearing the different stories in the news, what they're doing to those who hold to the faith. College campuses are putting in their own Orwellian speech codes. Can you try to be a Daniel in that situation? Try to become a tenured professor in such an environment. You may have to choose between a job and doing the faith. All of these in Hebrews 11 were commended for living by faith, doing by faith. And that word translated as commended in Hebrews chapter 11 is a form of the word martyr. Martyr means testimony. It means witness. And it came to signify those who witnessed and testified even unto death, a martyr. that word, commended for living by faith, they were martyrs. Doing by faith was their witness and their testimony. And notice they did this even without the promised Messiah. They didn't know the promised Messiah and his finished work on the cross. Verse 39 in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39, the word promise is there. And that's what it's talking about. The promised Messiah, that is Jesus, doing his completed, finished work, accomplishing it all on the cross. These people in Hebrews 11, living and doing by faith, were looking to the promise of the accomplished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Now you know the promise. You have seen the promise. You are recipient of the promise of the finished work of Christ on the cross. If they could live by faith and do by faith, how much more you can live by faith and do by faith, for you are recipient of the grace of the promise of Jesus Christ and that accomplished finished work on the cross. You have experienced the saving grace of Christ. You possess the promise. All that those who were commended for their faith were looking towards. Do you see the difference? You have received the promise in Christ. Now live by faith. Do by faith. They were living by faith and doing by faith, looking to the promise of Christ. And they were commended as martyrs. You who have received by grace the promise of Christ, that completed, finished work on the cross and the forgiveness of sin, you have what they were looking for. You have what they were longing for. You are truly blessed. Now live by faith. Do by faith. For there is a great cloud of witnesses that have gone before us. And this is Hebrews chapter 12, prayer phrasing right now. There is a great crowd of witnesses that have gone before us. Now let us, the living ones, living by faith and doing by faith, let us throw off all that hinders us. Let us run with perseverance, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, and he now sits at the right hand of God the Father. Consider all that Jesus had to endure, so much that you won't grow weary or lose heart as you have to endure things of this world, because you're living by the faith and doing the faith. Consider Jesus and all he has done. You who have been forgiven and redeemed by his precious blood, so full of grace, let us now be the ones who live by faith. Let us be the ones who do by faith. All to the glory of God, now and forever. Amen.